Chapter 13. Tom is late, as usual. I've arrived at Victoria Station on the 12 o'clock train from Spence, as expected, but my brother is nowhere to be found. Perhaps he's been in a horrible accident and lies dying on the street, begging with his last breath that one of the crying bystanders rush to the train station to rescue his most innocent and virtuous sister. It is the only charitable explanation I can muster. Most probably he is at his club, sharing laughs and cards with his friends, and has forgotten all about me. My dear, are you sure your brother is coming for you? It is Beatrice, one of the 70-year-old spinster sisters who sat beside me on the train, talking incessantly of rheumatism and the joys of cabbage roses till I thought I should go mad. Unlike my brother, they are concerned for my welfare. Oh, yes, quite sure, thank you. Please don't worry on my account. Oh, dear Millicent, I don't believe we can leave her here alone, do you?
No, quite right, Beatrice. She must come with us. We shall send word to her family.
That decides it. I am going to murder Tom. There he is, I say, looking off into the distance, where my brother is not.
Where?
The sisters ask.
I see him, just over there. I must have been looking in the wrong direction. It was lovely to meet you. I hope we shall meet again, I say,
offering my hand and sending them on their way. I march off purposefully and hide behind the ticket booth. When all is clear, I take a seat on a bench far down the platform.
Where could he be?
Another train whooshes into the station and unloads its passengers. They are embraced by smiling relations. Packages are handed over, flowers are given. Tom is a half hour late. Father shall hear about this. A man in a fine black suit comes to sit next to me. What must he think of me, sitting here by myself? An angry scar mars the left side of his face, stretching from above his ear to the corner of his mouth. His suit is expertly tailored. I spy his lapel pin, and my mouth goes dry, for I know what it is. It is the sword and skull of the Rakshana. Is it coincidence that he has sat beside me, or has he come with a purpose? He gives me a slight smile. Quietly, I rise and walk away. When I've gone halfway down the platform, I turn back. He's left the bench as well. His newspaper tucked beneath his arm, he follows me.
Where is Tom?
I stop at a flower seller, pretending to inspect the blooms and buds there. The man comes as well. He selects a red carnation for his buttonhole, tips his hat in thanks and drops a coin in the vendor's hand without so much as a word. Fear makes my legs weak as a newborn kitten's. What if he tries to take me? What if something has gone wrong with Kartik? What if Pippa is right and these men cannot be trusted at all? I can feel the man in the black suit closing in. If I were to scream, who would hear me above the hiss and snarl of the trains? Who might help me? I spy a young man standing alone, waiting.
There you are,
I say, striding quickly toward him. He looks about to see whom I'm addressing.
You're late, you know.
I'm late? I'm terribly sorry, but have we?
I lean in, whispering urgently.
Please help me. That man is following me.
He looks confused.
What man?
That man.
I look behind me, but he is gone. There is no one.
There was a man in a black suit. He had a hideous scar on his left cheek. He sat beside me on the bench, and then he followed me to the flower seller.
I'm aware that I sound slightly mad.
Perhaps he wanted a flower for his lapel,
the young man says.
But he followed me over here.
We are near the way out.
He points to the doors that lead to the street.
Oh, so we are, I say. I am such a fool. I am terribly sorry. I am jumping at shadows, it seems. My brother was to meet my train. He is late, I'm afraid.
Then I shall stay and keep you company until he arrives.
Oh, no, I couldn't possibly.
You could be of help to me, actually,
he says.
What sort of help could I give?
I ask warily. From his coat pocket, he pulls out a beautiful velvet box, the size of a cracker tin.
I need a lady's opinion about a gift. Will you help me?
Of course, I say, relieved.
He places the box on his open palm and lifts the top. There is nothing inside.
But it is empty, I say.
So it seems. Watch.
He pulls at what appears to be the floor of the box. It comes up to reveal a secret compartment, and inside this hidden space sits a beautiful cameo. It's lovely, I say, and the box is very clever.
So you approve?
I'm sure she'll be pleased, I say. I blush instantly.
It's for my mother,
the young man explains.
I've come to meet her train.
Oh, I say. We stand uncertainly. I don't know what to say or do. Should I continue to stand here like an idiot, or should I salvage what's left of my pride, bid him good day, and find a place where I can hide until my brother comes for me? I open my mouth to say goodbye, just as he extends a hand.
I am Simon Middleton. Oh, I'm terribly sorry. What were you about to say?
Oh, I was only... How do you do? We shake hands.
Very well, thank you. How do you do, Miss...
Oh, dear. Yes, I am...
Gemma?
My name rings out. Tom has arrived at last. He rushes over, hat in hand, that annoying lock of hair flopping into his eyes.
I thought you said Paddington Station.
No, Thomas, I say, forcing a smile for politeness' sake. I distinctly said Victoria.
You're mistaken. You said Paddington.